Hi, everyone, and welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to next year's Oscars. I'm Sophia Simonello.
And I'm Nick Rukraut.
And today, we really are counting down to next year's Oscars, I think, really for the first time so far this year. We will be sharing our two early Oscar predictions. This is an annual tradition. We do this every June. I don't even know what too early is anymore, honestly, but we will be going through all four acting categories, director and picture, sharing our predictions in each of those categories, seeing where we overlap. I think the bottom line for this is that we are just going to have fun with it, try not to take this too seriously. I mean, most of the movies that I'm going to talk about today, at least, I have not seen yet. So yeah, I'm excited to do this though. It's always a fun episode.
And that's why it's so fun, is because we don't know much. We are completely guessing. I made a list of like all the studios and what they have coming, and people could love it. They could flop. We just really don't know, even despite the cast size or the producers or people attached to it. And they come out and things can totally change. So that's kind of why we do this early. And yes, I would say it's still early because of all of those reasons. But nonetheless, I'm very excited to talk about them. Some of my picks, yes, I do hope they happen. Some of them are here just to talk about new movies coming and hoping that they are better than what they sound like. I'll say that for now.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought it would be fun if we reflected on this episode from last year and we each shared one really good prediction that we had and one really bad or funny prediction that we had.
Yeah, and I looked back at the past couple years that we had, and some, even from them, a lot of like the killer stuff carried over into last year. And then some other ones from last year, like Blitz, which we'll talk about today, still TBD, that may continue on until next year. We'll see. But I had also been to Cannes last year, so I knew about some of those movies and a lot of my hope dicting. In that sense, I really wished Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman could have gotten in. That movie did not, sadly, but I had both of them in there. And I also had in Joaquin Phoenix for Napoleon, because like we mentioned at the top, had no idea what that release would look like. And somewhat thankfully, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Very much so.
And then I'll say my good one is that I included Sandra Uller for Anatomy of a Fall and Best Actress. I wasn't across the board as aligned in the categories as you were. But that was my one inclusion. I was like, thank God I stuck with her. She deserved it. And there will be more, hopefully, next year with her. I don't think we have anything this year that could be Academy friendly.
Yeah, you really did stick by her the whole time. It was weird looking back at these. Like, some of mine were scary good. I had 4 out of 5 in Best Actor, which I have no idea
Maybe
it was just too predictable. I don't know. But yeah, I had Bradley Cooper in Maestro. I had Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, and of course our winner, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. I just had Leonardo DiCaprio for Killers of the Flower Moon instead of Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. So that group of 6 really stuck it out to the end. So I also predicted Jonathan Glazer in director. I stood by him the entire season. And I also talked about the possibility of Justine Triet getting in. So we were both thinking about Anatomy of a Fall quite a bit. My bad prediction, or my funny one that just made me laugh. Sometimes, listen, my pessimism wins out. I had Next Goal Wins, the Taika Waititi movie that bombed hard in Best Picture. Thank God I was wrong. I still haven't watched that movie. I tried to watch it on the plane on my way over to London, and I made it about 2 minutes in and put on The Parent Trap because I wanted a positive in-flight entertainment experience.
I still haven't tried to watch that movie either, and I'm not sure I will.
There you go. Let's get right into supporting actor then.
Okay, so my predicted nominees, I have Samuel L. Jackson in The Piano Lesson, John Lithgow in Conclave, and Stanley Tucci also in Conclave. For my last two, I have The Battle of the Doppelganger Twinks. We have George Mackay and Harris Dickinson. So George is in The End, which I will mention throughout this podcast. I am hoping it's a banger of a movie that kind of sounds like Annette, but Harris Dickinson than we have in Baby Girl and also in Blitz.
I thought you were about to say Harris Dickinson is Baby Girl, which is true. But I forgot he's in that movie with Nicole Kidman, Baby Girl. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is this just another The Idea of You, The Family Affair? Like, this is a whole genre we have coming now. But maybe that will have some attention. My final spot, and the joke is that I famously predict Willem Dafoe every single year. It is not for the movie that shall not be named that just came out. I will have him in for Nosferatu.
I was wondering deep down if he would make an appearance because he does every year on your list. We always have an honorary Willem Dafoe prediction from you. Last year, he deserved to be nominated for Poor Things. As I mentioned several times on our contender series and throughout the year, he gave my favorite performance in that movie. But alas, the Nosferatu trailer came out today. So I think we'll talk about that a lot through the season. I'm very excited for it. I can't wait to see what Eggers and his, you know, he always really commits to the research. And there's a lot there. So I can't wait to see that. But Willem Dafoe, let's go. And I almost made a joke that Harris Dickinson is dating Dua Lipa. And then I remembered that Callum Turner is the one dating Dua Lipa. Not Harris Dickinson.
They all kind of look alike. I mean, yeah. Come on.
So we overlap on three here. I also have Samuel L. Jackson, John Lithgow, and Stanley Tucci. We both have this conclave double. So for people wondering what conclave is, this is a movie from Focus Features. It's Edward Berger's follow-up to All Quiet on the Western Front, and it is all about the secretive process of selecting a new pope. So this feels, I don't know, with Focus behind it, Berger coming off of the success of All Quiet on the Western Front, it having a really nice fall release date, it feels like it could be good. And sometimes they go with a double in supporting. It feels like more of a likely thing now. So this was just the one that I gravitated towards as well. So we're aligned there. My additional nominees are Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain. Got a lot of buzz out of Sundance and also coming off of the success of Succession. And I also have Clarence Macklin from Sing Sing. Sing Sing is coming out this summer. It premiered at TIFF last year. And Clarence Macklin is playing himself in this movie. He actually is someone who was a real prisoner and an alum of this program, the Rehabilitation Through the Arts, which is what Sing Sing is about. So I can just feel like I can foresee this being a story with the Academy and with voters all season. I have not seen the movie yet.
But we do have the trailer, and it does seem like it could be a film that we are talking about come next season. Yeah, absolutely. And I think also with Coleman off of his run last year through award season, I will be mentioning him later, little teaser. So yeah, definitely. Those are all good picks, at least at this point in time.
Everything's a good pick now, right? Of your group, who are you most confident in?
So I'm also calling this today like the return of Oscar nominees. I think like 85% of my list has been nominated before, and I'm just like, we're going with it, whatever. And for some reason, John Lithgow to me feels like someone who could come back, could be like of his time for another nomination. He was nominated for Terms of Endearment and The World According to Garp. So it's been a while, and I feel like he could really bring out this setting of the Vatican, choosing a new pope, all of that. So did Anthony Hopkins a few years ago with that Netflix movie.
The Two Popes?
Yeah, that.
This time, though, we just have one pope and then we have many popes.
But it sounds more intense and kind of like more thrilling. So we'll see if that holds up, too. What about you? Yeah. Which are you most confident in?
Well, my thinking is similar to yours, just with a different person. Mine is for Samuel L. Jackson. So he was nominated for Pulp Fiction in 1995 and has not returned to the Oscars, except for when he won an honorary in 2021. So it just feels like this is the time for him to win a competitive Oscar. He also was nominated for a Tony for Best Featured Actor in a Play for The Piano Lesson on stage. So it does feel like one of those roles where it could translate from stage to screen and we could see a coronation, another It's Time award, if you will. Okay, I'll go first with supporting actress. I have Anjanou Ellis-Taylor for Nickel Boys, Natasha Lyonne for His Three Daughters, Julianne Moore for The Room Next Door, Saoirse Ronan for Blitz, and Isabella Rossellini for Conclave.
Okay, so we only have two overlapping here. That's Anjanou Ellis-Taylor and Saoirse Ronan. My other nominees, I have Joan Chen from Didi, Lady Gaga from Joker, Folie à Deux, and Naomi Watts from Emmanuel.
I almost put Gaga here. I just don't know if this is going to be a leader supporting situation. That's actually how I feel about a number of people that I have across the acting categories where I truly don't know if it's a leader supporting call. Mm-hmm. Natasha Lyonne, perfect example here. I have just heard great things about this performance. I do not know if she is a lead or going to be run as a lead or supporting. So I just put her here because lead is really crowded. And I think of all four acting categories this year, best actress looks the strongest so far. Same thing with Julianne Moore for The Room Next Door. This is the new Pedro Almodovar film. Saoirse Ronan and Blitz could also be a lead. It's just one of those things where I just thought of, okay, they're actresses where when you read the logline of the movie and you see something about their character, you think, okay, they could be supporting. That makes sense. But of all four acting categories, I had the hardest time with this one.
I think mostly in placement for me too, just like not knowing what these movies are about and people being top billed, but with other predictions and just trying to figure out what the movie's about, people having them in supporting, and I'm like, what? Why? Kind of the same thinking for me here. Naomi Watts, nominated twice, would love to see her return, especially recently being on Feud on FX. And then Gaga, we know she wants another nom. Yes, she has an Oscar, but I wouldn't be surprised here. Kind of scared for this movie. But like I mentioned with George Mackay and that movie being this apocalyptic musical, Joker also being musical, I don't know. We'll see. But Emmanuel seems like a possible Venice late festival release that pops up and people really end up loving, especially with the performances. This is by Audrey Dewan, who made Happening a couple years ago, which was the really provocative French abortion film that I loved. I think we both really liked this one.
Mm-hmm. I really liked that.
But with this as a follow-up, it's more of an erotic thriller here, and I think Naomi could capture that really, really well.
Naomi Watts deserved an Oscar for Mulholland Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for her to have a comeback narrative too. And Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, I read Nickel Boys, and when I talked to her last award season about Origin, she mentioned Nickel Boys and talked about how it was a really beautiful film and talked about what a great job she thought Ramel Ross did in directing it. And this is based on the Colson Whitehead Pulitzer Prize winning novel. And I feel like coming off of Origin, she deserved more accolades for that movie. She's really incredible in it and was also my favorite part of King Richard, which she did get a nomination for. So I'm hopeful that she gets one here and that this is a really great performance and movie.
So which are you most confident in?
Oh, I mean, this one's really tricky because, like, I would also say Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, just because, as we'll get to, I just have Conclave everywhere. It's really a placeholder for a lot of things right now. But I don't know how large her role is, and it would also be her first nomination. I'm going to go with Natasha Lyonne for now. Because regardless of what category she's in, I just feel like there's a lot of passion for that performance and she's going to get recognized somewhere in the season. What about you?
So I'm going to go with one that I haven't seen yet. I'm going to pick Joan Chen for Didi, which is directed by Sean Wong, who was nominated for documentary short last year. This film won a huge dramatic prize at Sundance. Everyone was singing Joan's praises with her performance as this really heartwarming mother. I think if audiences love this, it could really hit. It kind of reminds me of like the Minari support and just how heartwarming that film was as an immigrant story. And we've also seen a lot of roles as mothers recently. And I think having that sentiment could really push her into the race. And I hope it does, because she, amongst my list, is the only one that hasn't been nominated before. So I'm hoping we have some newcomers in these lists and as eventual nominees as well.
That's a great pick. I feel like you're going to be right on the money with that one. I just haven't seen it, but it does feel right.
So next we have actor. My predicted nominees here, I have Daniel Craig for Queer, Colman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ed Harris in A Long Day's Journey Into Night, Joaquin Phoenix, again, reprising his role from Joker 1 into Joker 2, and John David Washington in The Piano Lesson.
Okay, we only have two overlaps here, Daniel Craig and Colman Domingo. My other three are Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, Andrew Garfield for We Live in Time, and Jesse Plemons for Kinds of Kindness. I haven't seen Kinds of Kindness yet, so you can tell me how wrong I am because you've seen it, but he won Best Actor at Cannes, so that is why I put him here.
From what I've seen, I think I am the person who has disliked this movie the most so far. I guess I will say there's potential because of his Cannes win. Apart from that, I don't think the Academy will touch this movie. I know every Lanthimos film has gotten in the past X amount of years. I don't think this is it.
I will report back on Friday.
When you see it, you will say not a single Academy member is going to watch this movie because it is so long and the torturous elements. I could absolutely see people walking out, and I was surprised myself that I wasn't one of them.
Wow.
He does transform in ways. It's not in this overwhelming way either. I did like his like buzz cut look in the third section. But yeah, there's a reason why I didn't have Willem Dafoe in here as well, even though that's like a perfect supporting performance. I will say that I am most scared. This is the first time we've mentioned Queer. I am scared that this movie isn't going to be appreciated just like Kinds of Kindness. It's going to be a long film. I heard the first draft was nearly 3 hours, and the sort of homoerotic, as we know Luca Guadagnino to be, story. I don't know. I'm kind of scared, but I'm hoping it's a really big performance for Craig and possibility here.
It would be his very first Oscar nomination, which is exciting. I hear you. It doesn't have a distributor yet. So I don't think that's alarming per se, but it does make things a bit shakier in terms of predicting. I have to read you the quote that Luca Guadagnino said about Queer. He said, "It's a tribute to Powell and Pressburger. I've seen The Red Shoes 50 times, and I think Queer's sex scenes, which are numerous and quite outrageous, would be appreciated."
Outrageous sex scenes.
But yeah, you're right. I don't know. To think of, like, will the Academy appreciate this? They like to call me by your name.
But could challengers even show up? I don't think we have it in today, and I would love to, but
I hope
it's similar reasons that I don't feel good about Queer either.
If Challengers gets a single Oscar nomination, I will blast times 10 in my apartment for the entire morning. Like any other day, is what I'm saying. Drew Starkey, we also should keep an eye on him for Queer. This could be a big breakthrough moment for him, the Outer Banks star. I don't know if he'll be running lead or supporting. That's all up in the air. I wanted to ask you about A Long Day's Journey Into Night, because the release road for this movie has been A Long Day's Journey Into Night. We really don't know if it's coming, but I hope it is.
This is another one that I feel like even now is going to be pushed until next year. I don't think I have Jessica Lange in because of that, but I put in Ed Harris because you never know. And even though I think they both have potential, again, I kind of wanted to include more actresses than that if that doesn't happen. So yeah, I don't know. And having The Piano Lesson and A Long Day's Journey Into Night, two plays turned films, I don't know about that either. But these are just really recognizable actors. John David Washington, I haven't read that play. I don't know about the story, but August Wilson has shown up before, and I'm sure it's incredible work. It's being directed by his brother, Malcolm, Denzel's other son. So it's like, there's a lot happening here.
Yeah. It could be an entire Washington family affair at the Oscars, because mm-hmm. Denzel is in Gladiator 2, which I also don't know if we're going to talk about that one. Or if Ridley with Napoleon burned you too badly and me too badly with House of Gucci in the predictions.
His past few films, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last Duel? Wow, yeah. I don't know. Maybe not wise to bank on the Riddler here. I feel pretty good, though, about some of my list, I would say. Andrew Garfield, so We Live in Time. This is directed by John Crowley, who did Brooklyn, and this stars Andrew Garfield, of course, and Florence Pugh, too. So I put him in here sort of for the same reason that you put The Boys in supporting actor. I just like Andrew Garfield, and I want to see him return to the Oscars and have a big role. And this will be distributed by A24, and they're very good at campaigning. So I think it could happen for him.
And I think that's their best bet, or what looks like their biggest film besides Sing Sing. So if they are campaigning, it could be for either Garfield or Pugh. There's also a play right behind this, so there is a lot of potential, I think.
So who are you most confident in?
The answer that I think I have to say is Joaquin Phoenix.
Wow.
Which is surprising, yes, for me, but in reprising a role that he won before not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they're going to take that. But again, he won, so this could be an easy slot for him, depending on where the movie takes him and if he's singing, ? It could be seen as such a difference in terms of what we got before that maybe they love it even more and want to award or nominate him again.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. The thing about Joker Folie à Deux is I did not like Joker. You didn't like Joker. But I am highly anticipating this movie because I just want to know what it is. I want to see Lady Gaga. Is it New York, New York? Is it something else? Is it La La Land or Umbrellas of Cherbourg? Like, what's going on here? I do want to know. So I think that's a smart pick. I just am so unsure about it.
What's your pick? Which are you most confident in?
I'm pretty confident in two. So I think my number one at the moment is Colman Domingo for Sing Sing. I feel like this is the perfect second nomination after Rustin. And I'm not going to say he could win because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a nomination here feels right. I can just see that happening. And then my other is Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, because he hasn't been nominated right since The English Patient. It has been a really long time. So again, if we're thinking of comeback narratives that we could see, I feel like if this movie really is going to be all over the place in the fall and it's going to be Focus's big player, one of their big players, he's playing the cardinal who is running the operation of selecting the new pope. So it feels like it's going to be his movie. Let's move on to our favorite category, Best Actress. My predicted nominees are Amy Adams for Night Bitch. Can't wait to say that all season. Carla Sofia Gascon for Amelia Perez. Marianne Jean-Baptiste for Hard Truths. Angelina Jolie for Maria. And Tilda Swinton for The Room Next Door.
So we have two carryovers, Marianne and Angelina. My other three, I have Nicole Kidman in Baby Girl. It's coming back. Mikey Madison for Anora and Tilda Swinton. Not for The Room Next Door, but for The End. I mentioned this movie three times now. Oh my God.
The Year of Tilda.
I am digging a hole for myself.
You want the End of the World musical? The out there bizarre movie? And I want the Pedro Almodovar movie about two women. This all makes sense. I think it fits in line with what we like.
So I think with mine, you will also be into, it's being distributed by Neon. It also has Colin Farrell. And It's made by a different J. Oppenheimer than we knew last year. It's Joshua Oppenheimer, who was nominated twice for Best Documentary previously.
We will have another award season of Oppenheimer, is what you were saying. Just a different flavor of Oppenheimer. Okay. Yes. I'm excited to see the end. It sounds cool. It is just one of those where in coming up with my predictions, I tried to play it safe with some, and that was just one I didn't stick my neck out for, but we'll see. What do you think about Night Bitch? Because you don't have Amy Adams. She's winning a TIFF tribute, so I'm fingers crossed thinking it could be time.
Mm-hmm. I honestly was going to put her in. I just didn't want to include her and have us overlapping 4 out of 5 in all of these categories. So I wanted you also to talk about this because you're reading the book or you just recently read it. And I want to actually know if there is potential. I really want this to happen. I want it to be as crazy as it sounds, as Amy slowly turns into a dog is really the short of it. Could be an incredible performance. Maybe even more in like picture, but I just have zero clue and I'm too scared.
Yeah, I think I was worried too until I saw the TIFF tribute. Reading this book has been so much fun so far. So this is based on the book by Rachel Yoder. It is such a strange read because the tone is really tricky. It's a lot of magical realism. And it's about how hard it is to be a mother. And I think the toll that that takes on you, but also how women feel able to or not able to express anger, which is just fascinating. And I think that Mariel Heller is the perfect choice to direct this. I feel like I have a lot of faith in her, at least in reading this book, that she can nail it. In the same way that I have faith in Amy Adams being able to do it, because I think what this, ideally, what this role can do for her is it can allow her to access roles that we've seen her do before, like her villainous Lady Macbeth streak in The Master, to a sort of more buttoned up version of herself that we might see in other roles. So I think there are aspects to it that I know she can do. I'm also thinking of Sharp Objects and how painful and vulnerable that role was for her. Obviously, that's a limited series. I recommend that, watching her performance in that if you haven't yet. But yeah, I feel like she can really do it. But they like over the top too, and this role will require that. But she always finds a way to ground things. And that's very much how the book is, too.
Okay. I'm excited. Maybe I will try to read it before then.
It's pretty short. It's a pretty easy read. I'm about halfway through it right now.
Okay. So part of me also wanted to include Cynthia Erivo for Wicked. I didn't. I still maybe think it's possible. I don't know. I'm hoping this is a big possible Oscar movie, but I did want to make sure I included Marianne Jean-Baptiste for Hard Truth because she, Mike Lee, the director, and Dick Pope, the cinematographer, I'm sure a lot of his team is coming back for this movie, Hard Truths, but they're reuniting since then, and she was nominated for that movie too. And so is Mike for directing. He's been nominated twice for directing. And again, I think in terms of all of them coming back, it could be just time to nominate them all again. And even just from the single still they have of this movie and her in that photo, she looks like she's going to destroy all of us. And I think that could absolutely be a performance, especially under Mike Lee's hand, to do that.
Yeah, I'm so excited that we both have her because I love Mike Lee. There's something about his style and the types of performances that he gets from his actors. It just really works for me. Some of my favorite performances ever have come from Mike Lee films. Imelda Staunton and Vera Drake, Leslie Manville in Another Year, and Marianne Jean-Baptiste in Secrets and Lies. So that's why I have her in. My fear is that it is Bleecker Street. And
oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah, just thinking back to Mast. But Mike Leigh, I think, has more cachet here than some other people who've had their films distributed by Bleecker Street before. I'm so excited for Angelina Jolie in Maria, the third in Pablo Larraín's trilogy of women. We had Jackie and Spencer. Now we have Maria, the biopic about Maria Callas. Sadly, not starring Faye Dunaway. Faye has always wanted to make a Maria Callas movie, but it's going to have to be Angelina instead. I want somehow a full report of Faye's reaction to the movie. Like, will she go to a screening? Will she watch it? I'm sure she will have an opinion. And I need to know what that is. But Angelina Jolie, in just the stills from the movie, looks amazing. I mean, she always does, but another comeback of sorts, right, for her. It's been a while.
Yeah, and you know, she is the one I'm most confident in. I'm going to go with her over Marianne just because Lorraine, Portman got in for Jackie, Stewart got in for Spencer, El Conde got into cinematography. Like, no matter what he makes, it gets in. So in that vein, I'm going to go with Angelina Jolie for this. I mentioned Nicole Kidman again. She's won. She's been nominated. Give her another nomination. And Mikey Madison, I think, is just the talk of the town since Anora took home the Palme d'Or. So I think that has definite potential.
Well, it's funny you have Mikey Madison for your can pick. I have Carla Sofia Gascón, who was one of the actresses who won Best Actress at Cannes for Emilia Perez. And I think I can just see, because Netflix picked this movie up, Netflix putting a lot of their weight behind her getting in. So I don't have Mikey Madison at the moment, but I can also obviously see that happening for sure. People love that performance and thought she would win Best Actress at Cannes. So definitely a possibility. I am going to say I'm most confident in Amy Adams. I feel
that.
It's right. Her playing a dog. I know it makes more sense probably to go with Angelina Jolie in a Lorraine biopic. And, you know, I could see her winning Best Actress at Venice or something like that and getting everything started. Yeah. But I'm going with Amy Adams.
I really do hope that she shows up. I want to mention one more. Kate Winslet for Lee. I think I have mentioned her last year. It came out at TIFF last year, and it's being distributed this year. But just like you said, Bleecker Street, it's being distributed by Roadside Attractions and Vertical Entertainment, and I looked through their entire slate, and I just didn't recognize a single one. And
yeah,
I think that's pretty much taking this out of the race, or that a bigger distributor... I saw through multiple of these films that we're talking today that there were battles, $20 million to buy certain rights to certain films. And I don't think that happened in this case. And maybe it's not a year for Kate Winslet to be nominated, but I thought maybe this had a ton of potential, and maybe it still does for name recognition purposes.
Vertical Entertainment, hearing that is the death knell, I think. But I will be seeing it because Kate Winslet and Josh O'Connor are in it. I still haven't seen it yet, but
Josh,
I will
be
seeing it. Yeah.
Okay. And then next up we have director. My predicted nominees are Sean Baker for Anora, Edward Berger for Conclave, Mike Leigh for Hard Truths, Steve McQueen for Blitz, and Rachel Morrison for The Fire Inside.
Okay. We have two in common. Sean Baker and Edward Berger. My other three nominees, I have Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez, Marielle Heller for Night Bitch. This is my outside prediction that I am just having fun with because I think it would be great. And I have Denis Villeneuve for Dune Part 2. Maybe we start there. Why don't you have him?
I think the release date has me thinking, how much will people still be thinking about this or think it will have as big of an impact Oscars-wise a year from its release date? Doesn't mean it can't. Do I think he's a shoe-in? I don't think I would say yes right now, but I think it's very possible.
Yeah. I feel like the reason I have him here, I mean, we know he missed last time for Dune. He didn't make it in. We talked about that and we talked about the movie. But I feel like with part two, the more and more I'm thinking about it, I just feel like this year, this is going to be that big technical achievement, because I don't necessarily see the musicals that are coming out being that. We talked about when we saw Dune Part 2, we talked about the production design and the costume design and the makeup and the cinematography and all of these elements that, and I know this is the argument that we used last time to say that he was going to get in, but I just feel like this year, we don't have the big names like Spielberg or PTA there to take up spots. I don't know. It's a weird year. And I feel like he's going to be the technical player. His movie is. I can't see Wicked being that. Maybe Folie à Deux. Like, it could be Todd Phillips. We'll see, though. It's early. And I hear what you're saying about the release date.
And that's not even the main issue, is the date, because obviously we've seen films work around that before and battle through that. Yeah, I think in terms of what's coming, nothing is really striking me as an Oppenheimer, as a movie that's going to just totally plow through any other film, and that's all we'll be talking about. I thought maybe that could have been Horizons, and maybe that's Horizons Chapter 2, Part 2.
Oh my God.
Maybe it is Gladiator 2, and Ridley Scott is really going to shock us, because Gladiator won Best Picture, and who knows what this could bring. Paul Mescal, obviously, and maybe that's all we need.
We need the hemline, though, to be a little higher to align with his love of a short inseam. If I could give one note to the costume designer.
I mean, maybe that's Lee Isaac Chung with Twisters. We're almost there. I'm really excited for that. I think all of this is to say is if SNL 1975 doesn't come out, I think that to me could be a hit. And I'm thinking it could have been an easy prediction for Jason Reitman to be there. But I am banking on this to capitalize on its 50th year anniversary next year and to wait for that to come.
Oh, I haven't even really thought about this one yet. I'm not a big Reitman fan.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, I think that's probably right. Next year. It's interesting, though, because the directors I have on my list, with the exception of Villeneuve, would all be first-time nominees, which feels weird for a director. I feel like director, every year we have some veterans. So I like your Mike Lee pick. I like your Steve McQueen pick. I just don't know what to make of Blitz, because I just keep thinking that we're going to hear that it's coming, or it has a release date, or just all these different things. And we haven't heard anything yet. So I'm just scared, especially with how on the McQueen side, you have something like 12 Years a Slave, which obviously did incredibly well at the Oscars, won Best Picture. And then you have something like Widows, which came and went. This is a World War II movie. So it's much more probably in line with what the Academy likes. Maybe this is the Oppenheimer. I don't know. But I think that those are two good picks that I probably would have been wiser to put in. But I wanted us to be a little different here, I think.
Yeah.
And I went with Jacques Audiard and Sean Baker, again, just because of Cannes. We talk every year about Cannes and how it's becoming, I think, increasingly more important in predicting where the more international voting body is going to go. And that was how I predicted Trier and Glazer to both get in last year. So that's why I went with Odiar and Baker here. But that also feels shaky.
Yeah. And my other pick, Rachel Morrison. So The Fire Inside was this movie that we had talked about previously called Flint Strong. They changed the title. And Rachel Morrison was previously nominated for Mudbound as the cinematographer. And she's been a DP on so many films, also did Black Panther. So I think there's a lot of potential there just with those movies being mentioned and with Barry Jenkins, who's also writing the script. So I think there's some potential here. I would love to see at least one female director on the list. We've seen multiple before, so I'm hoping there's more. I just don't know where it's going to come from. And again, if Mariel Heller is that person with Night Bitch.
I don't know what I'm thinking with this movie. Maybe I've lost it. I don't know. But based on the tone, again, like, yes, that is also going to come down to the script. But I'm curious what she can pull off visually. Mm-hmm. And I think it could be really cool. So that's why I have her. And then Edward Berger, we both have, even though he missed the year of All Quiet on the Western Front. But I feel like he needed to build up credit maybe first, coming straight from TV. And with this one, he'll have it. That's at least how I'm thinking.
I would almost put him in as my most confident, but I think I'm going to go with Steve McQueen for Blitz. We have been anticipating this film for over a year, and I'm hoping it happens. My one other alternate, you're going to die laughing, is Robert Zemeckis.
For what? For Here?
It's called Here.
Oh, stop. Oh, my God. I forgot about this movie.
With Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. The thing is, so it's penned by Eric Roth, and his last five scripts have all become Best Picture nominees. And I'm going to mention it in a few minutes. But why would that take Zemeckis out of the running?
Oh, my God.
Only if the film looks hideous, I guess. But
which is possible, considering the recent output.
Anyway, just throwing another name out there, but mm-hmm. Who are you most confident with?
It's really hard because I think I'm going to say Denis Villeneuve.
I mean, I love that.
Of all of the people here, though, I just like, I mean, everyone has something working against them.
Yeah.
Everyone on my list. But I feel like he's the only one who, one, has a movie on this list that I've seen. And two, we know we'll get nominations. In some way, shape, or form. And I think there will probably be a story around him not getting in for the first one and how big of an achievement part two is. And he's my previous nominee on my list. So I'm going there. All right. Let's wrap up with Best Picture. My 10 predicted nominees are Anora, Blitz, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Joker, Folie à Deux, Night Bitch, The Piano Lesson, Queer, and Sing Sing.
So we have six overlapping. I don't have Anora, Emilia Perez, Queer, or Sing Sing.
I'm scared.
We're always too aligned, so I'm like, great, I'm going to replace half my list here.
Okay.
I have The Fire Inside, Hard Truths. That's probably like last on the chopping block at this point, but again, lots of Oscar praise and attention in the past for that team. I have Here, I have Wicked Part 1, and I think for my final one, I mentioned Gladiator 2, and part of me really wants to put this in, but I think for the sake of this unhinged podcast, I'm going to put in Juror Number 2.
Stop. The Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood film. I almost wanted to put him in director as like, guys, is this the last one? We should nominate him. Who knows how this will be? Again, if this will gain any traction. I mean, give Toni Collette a supporting actress nomination. It's a big team. I mean, Nicholas Hoult, who's also in Nosferatu, he's in this. Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh my God, R.I.P. Donald Sutherland.
I know.
I can't believe I didn't mention this at the top, but I was devastated when he passed away.
Yeah.
Last week. What a life. One of my favorite actors of all time. And the fact that he was never nominated for an Oscar shows how silly this all is to begin with.
And that's why I'm putting Juror Number 2 on my list. His last nomination was 10 years ago for American Sniper for Picture, so it's possible.
The good news about Juror Number 2 is that Clint Eastwood is not in it. He's not acting in it, which makes me think maybe it could be good.
Maybe.
You might be onto something. Who's distributing it? Warner Brothers.
It could be a big push for them.
I will laugh so hard if you're right. I really will. We're going to play back the audio and just laugh.
They have so many this year, but of those movies, it's Dune Part 2, again, Horizons, Twisters, the Beetlejuice sequel, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, and Joker, Folie à Deux.
Okay, and which one are you most confident in of your picks?
Honestly, if we don't see multiple of these, I'll be really surprised. Like, I would say Blitz, Conclave, and Dune Part 2 seem pretty likely, and honestly, maybe even Joker. But I'll just go with those first three. I'll say three.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm confident in those as well. Blitz, Conclave. I would say mostly Conclave, Dune Part 2. There's something about Sing Sing that's also sticking out to me. It just feels like going from last year, this big 3-hour epic, they'll go for something a bit smaller this year. It'll swing back.
We both wrote down some other random nominations that we'd like to see, either in categories we mentioned or other categories, or just fun nominations we think the Oscars should at least consider, even though they likely won't.
Yeah, I have a few here. Austin Butler, Best Supporting Actor for Dune Part 2. I mentioned this on that episode, and I think I gave him my Oscar. Yes, weird, wacky villain performance. Love it. Also, everything Challengers, just everything. Picture, director, screenplay, actor for Josh O'Connor. I think he can be run as a lead. I think I put him in supporting on the episode, but now that I've seen it like 6 times, I'm thinking they're all 3 co-leads. Cinematography, score, costumes, everything. Original song. Challengers in all categories. Julianne Nicholson for Best Actress for Janet Planet. Would love to see that. As well as Annie Baker for writing Janet Planet. Would also love to see a nomination for Alana Glazer for writing Babes. I haven't talked about the movie on the pod yet, but I loved it. I thought so fun, and it also made me cry.
The sushi didn't scare
you. There's so many. The sushi didn't scare me. It was actually endearing, like you told me.
See?
It would be. Yeah. I don't know. Lots of good ones. Now that I'm thinking about the movie year, there are quite a few things I would nominate, but those are the things that stick out to me right now. What about you?
Anything Madame Webb, Dakota Johnson supporting actress.
Or lead. She's a lead. She is the titular Madame Webb.
She would never make it in lead. Oh my God. Even just, like, visual effects, like, get it in there, just so we can call it an Oscar-nominated film, would be hilarious.
I would love to talk about it on Contenders. Like, I need that.
Yes.
So badly.
Alien Romulus for visual effects. I hope this movie is so good. Because the original also won visual effects in 79. And I'm like, what a fun way to bring that back. And then Nosferatu and Picture would be incredible. One, because of the teaser. I had this in before that. But because the original film came out over 100 years ago, which is just incredible. So I hope this adaptation is a beautiful tribute to the original. And it's starting to look like it. So I'm excited.
I'm very excited to see that. Well, those were our very first Oscar predictions. Let's see how right we are in a year's time. I think it will be very funny. I mean, it was a little all over the place, but no one knows anything right now. Remember that. We don't know anything yet. Half of these movies, I mean, more than half of them, no one's seen. The only movie I predicted for Best Picture that I've seen is Dune Part 2. So, again, it's very early, but this was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fun. I'm more excited for these movies now, and some will be getting very soon, and usually around this time, and by the time we do our fantasy draft in a month or two, we'll get all the information that everything has been moved, and then we'll be talking about these again next year.
And next time on Oscar Wilde, I briefly touched on this during the episode, but I was so sad to learn that one of my favorite actors, Donald Sutherland, passed away last week, so we will be celebrating his life. We are doing a little spin on our They Didn't Win for That series, And we will be talking about how this man didn't get an Oscar nomination in his career, but specifically how he didn't get nominated and he didn't win for Ordinary People, which won Best Picture at the 1980 Oscars. So we'll be talking all about Donald Sutherland, Ordinary People, and his perfect performance as Calvin Jarrett. I've been waiting so long to talk about this movie on this podcast.
I've only seen it once. I'm excited to talk about it and to rewatch this. Lots of fun Oscar trivia and facts, and I'm excited to cover this movie finally too, yeah.
Well, thank you all for listening. If you like our show, please feel free to rate, review, and follow. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at OscarWildPod. And if you really like our show, you can subscribe for bonus content at patreon.com/OscarWild.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.